Hello, St. Georgians near and far, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. On day 209 in our year of the Bible, looking at Isaiah 47 through 49, getting towards the end of Isaiah. 47 is all about the impending fall of Babylon, and it's kind of a satirical mocking of the city. Like, we're close enough to the destruction of Babylon now that the Lord is sort of talking about its utter destruction. And Isaiah here personifies Babylon as this virgin daughter Babylon, sort of Queen Babylon, who thinks that she is invulnerable and invincible, but in actuality, only God is invulnerable and invincible. You thought that you were so great, but actually not. So in chapter 47, verse 5, the Lord says, gives Queen Babylon all these imperatives: sit in silence, go into darkness. There are a bunch of other ones that I can't see right now. Oh yeah, well, from the beginning, go down, sit in the dust, sit on the ground, take the millstones, grind the flour, take off your veil, lift your skirts, bare your legs, wade through the streams, and so forth. The Babylonians had been used as the instrument of the Lord to bring judgment on Judah. However, what it sounds like is they went overboard, and they did not show mercy, not even to the old people. Even on the aged, you laid a very heavy yoke. You said, "I am forever the eternal queen," but the Lord says, "No. On a single day, you're going to lose your children. You're going to lose you're going to lose your husband. They're going to come upon you in full measure." In spite of your many sorceries, this is the other thing. The Babylonians thought that their own gods had awarded them the kingdom of Judah, but no, that was not true. They have been trusting in their sorceries and their spells and their wickedness, but they were going to come to great misfortune. In verse 11, chapter 47, verse 11, disaster will come upon you, a calamity will fall upon you, a catastrophe you cannot foresee will suddenly come upon you. And one of the words being used there is the Hebrew word Shoah, which is a Hebrew word that we now use in English to refer to the Holocaust, which is also a scriptural word. So there you go. In chapter 48, you know, this is one of those things where, you know, in chapter 47, it says, just because Judah was getting judged doesn't mean that Babylon is so great. And chapter 48 is, just because Babylon is being judged doesn't mean that Judah is so great. You didn't listen, you guys. You didn't listen. But now it's over. Verse 6.5, from now on I will tell you of new things, of hidden things unknown to you. And this is a theme that we've seen many times. There are new things going on. And then in verse 10, I have refined you, though not as silver. I have tested you in the furnace of affliction. Furnace of affliction, boy, to me it seems like that is a really good phrase there. The furnace of affliction you have been refined in. Judah has been refined in the furnace of affliction. The furnace of affliction is Babylon. And amigos, I wonder if many of us cannot say that we have been, hopefully refined in the furnace of affliction, or have at least gone through or going through or will go through a furnace of affliction, and just hope that we come out the other side refined. Right, God's purposes being used. But furnace of affliction, next time you're feeling down, just remember you're in a furnace of affliction. But it could have been otherwise. If it could have been otherwise, in chapter 48, verse 18, you could have had peace like a river. You could have had peace like a river. You could have had peace like a river in your soul, but you didn't. verse 18. If you had only paid attention to my commands, your peace would have been like a river, your well-being like the waves of the sea. However, no, in verse 20, leave Babylon. Flee from the Babylonians. Announce it with shouts of joy. Proclaim it. Send it to the ends of the earth and say, the Lord has redeemed his servant Jacob. After all of that, the Lord has redeemed his servant Jacob. But the real the important part is chapter 49 for us anyway, is chapter 49. Chapter 49, servant song. Listen to me, you islands. Before I was born, the Lord called me. From my mother's womb, he has spoken my name. Now, chapter 49 has been seen as Jesus speaking throughout and throughout. And so go back, go back and read it or listen to it or whatever and listen to that. Before I was born, the Lord called me. From my mother's womb, he has spoken my name. Now, look, we don't have a record of the Lord speaking the name of anyone unborn except for one person, which is Jesus. The angel appeared to Joseph and named the child Emmanuel. The angel Gabriel appeared unto Mary and says, you shall call his name Jesus. After chapter 49, there's no more mention of the Babylonians, of Cyrus, or a new Exodus. The focus is now on the servant of the Lord. So I've talked before about how Isaiah is sometimes called the fifth gospel, and this is partly why. And look what he says. He says, he made my mouth. So imagine Jesus speaking here. He made my mouth like a sharpened sword. He made me into a polished arrow, concealed me in his quiver. That language is the same language that's used later, that's the same language that had been used earlier about the enemies of Judah coming down with their sharp swords. Their sharp arrows. Do you remember that? Their sharp swords and their polished arrows. I'm forgetting. And now it's Jesus. And in the book of Revelation, Jesus is described there at the beginning. Out of his mouth came a sharp sword. Verse 3, he said, you said to me, you are my servant. Uh-oh, we're about to find out who's a servant. You are my servant, comma, Israel, in whom I will display my splendor. So he calls this servant Israel. So one of the ways that we talk about Jesus is that he is the sort of he's like the crystallization, the like codification of Israel in himself, right? Israel, what's his name? This guy, he says, God is whoever raised Jesus from the dead after first liberating Israel from Egypt. The kids are doing our kids are doing gymnastics in the parish hall, and the soprano is practicing upstairs. There's a lot going on here at your parish today. Anyway, and then here is chapter 49 verse 6. It is too small a thing for you to be my servant. Okay, so it says, he says, so it's God speaking to the servant. It is too small a thing for you to be my servant to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel I have kept. I will also make you, ready, a light for the Gentiles, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. A light to lighten the nations and the glory of his people Israel. Remember that? That is the song of Simeon, which shows up in the Gospel of Luke and which gets read at evening prayer. Be a light to lighten the Gentiles. I will make you a light for the Gentiles. Who are the Gentiles? Everybody, including the Babylonians, right? Including the Egyptians, including you and me. Think about Jesus as the sort of personification of Israel, and the redemption of Jesus, the resurrection of Jesus, as being the thing that brings all the nations, that brings all the Gentiles into that community of Israel. So it's no longer just a historical or biological or genetic Israel, but rather the Gentiles too. That's pretty cool. It is too small a thing for you to be my servant. I will make you a light for the Gentiles that my salvation will reach to the ends of the earth. And don't worry. Don't worry, because in chapter 49, verse 15, responding to this concern of Israel, it says, "But Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me. The Lord has forgotten me." And God says in response, "Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion for the child she has born? She may forget, but I will not forget you. I have engraved you on the palms of my hands." So he's saying, can a mother forget her baby? It would be unnatural and strange and terrible. That's a ridiculous thing. God remembers us and loves us like a mother loves her baby. And even if any particular mother you might know might forget their baby, if something happens, if something unnatural and horrible happens, even if that happens, God loves us even more than that mother, right? I know that came up during a youth Sunday one time. I said, God loves you more than anyone else. I don't remember exactly how I said it. And one of the kids said, "You mean God loves us more than our parents?" And I had to say, yes. Yes, God loves with a perfect and infinite love. And this child said, "You said it right in their faces." And yeah, but there it is. Even if a mother forgets her child, God will not forget us. And so when you're in the furnace of affliction, friends, don't forget that. The mother might forget her child, but God is not forgetting us. Even in the furnace of affliction, even in the midst of the furnace of affliction, God has not forgotten us. All right, you can hold on to that one. All right, let us pray. O God, who has caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of thy holy word we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which thou hast given us in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen, my friends. Have a wonderful rest of your day. Talk to you tomorrow.